Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. You can stay right there. All right, praise God. Well, look at your neighbor and say, get ready to dig a ditch. Look at your other neighbor. Look at the one that was your second choice. If that wasn't your wife or girlfriend, we'll have ministry afterwards. But tell them it's time to get busy. How many of y'all know it's time to get busy? Amen. Well, I want to... In this particular text right here, before I begin to talk about what happened, and I love the power of how God delivered these Israelites and all the things that set up, but I want to just kind of pick this story apart this morning for you. And what we read here is Jehoram. He is the king at the time in Israel. And we know in Scripture here that he is the son of Ahab and the son of Jezebel. Now, if you don't know who Ahab and Jezebel are, they are some not good people, all right? These are people that lying, cheating, dead-beating, two-timing, you know those types. How many, raise your hand if you know those types of people, all right? All right, only a few of you know, but how many of y'all are sitting next to one right now? No, just kidding, I'm kidding. Just making sure y'all are paying attention, all right? And so we know that he comes from bad blood. In fact, we know this about Ahab. The Bible says that he was the most wicked king in all of Israel before and after his time. We read about Jehoram here, and he actually had taken up evil, even though he wasn't serving the same gods as Baal, as his parents. But there was a man named Jeroboam that came along, and he had brought some new gods in. But what also that I know about his mama Jezebel is she was a manipulator. She would tell you what you wanted to hear, but she did something behind your back. And so when I see that he is the son of these two crazy people, I know that he has a part of him that will speak, tickle your ear, and there's a part of him that will stab you in the back. How many of y'all know those people out there? Their life resolves around manipulation, and so he knows how to play both sides of the ball, but he is being attacked, under attack of the country of Israel, is being under attack by the Moabites. And so what he does is he goes to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is a man after God's own heart. He loves it. The Bible says that about David, but I'm just using that as an illustration. He's excited about the Lord. He prays. He has a relationship with him. He is the king of Judah. And so he goes to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah there, and he said, will you go up with me? And he said, of course I will. And so he said, how should we go? He said, let's go through the wilderness of Edom. And what we read here in verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 8, and he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. How many of y'all want to go up in life? You don't want to stay down. You want to go up in life. You don't want to be a failure. You want to be successful. You don't want to, but how many of y'all thankful for the Lord? When we are weak, he makes us strong. When we're poor, he makes us rich. Amen. His grace is sufficient for us. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is new every single morning. Come on, who else can give you that? There ain't no grandma, grandpa, boss, Dr. Phil, Oprah. I don't care who it is or how great they are, I'm telling you, only God, his mercy is new every single morning for your life. And so what I read here, he said, and which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. I'm here to tell you this morning, before we talk about digging ditches, I just want to open your eyes. Before you go up, you've got to go through some wilderness experiences. People that are at the top of the food chain at any high corporation, I promise you, they started from the bottom. All you young people in the crowd, you started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. All right. Some of y'all that just went right over your head, but lift your hand if you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, some of you young people that are in the crowd. So all of us started a place. See, this building right here, before it was built, they went low before they went up. Right? It's something about a bow and arrow. When you pull an arrow back, the further you pull it back, the farther it goes in a recurve bow, right? I said it at camp meeting about my son Anson. He figured out, how many of y'all been on the trampoline where you bounce somebody? You get in rhythm with them. See, my son has figured out when his dad weighs probably double his weight. Okay, triple. Let's just be honest. Quadruple. All right? Who am I lying to? But he's learned when he bounced, he learned, see, dad takes the trampoline way low, and the farther it goes down, the higher it goes up. Are you guys getting that this morning? In life, the farther you go down, the higher you're going to go up. The more you humble yourself and say, whatever it is that you would have me to do, God, I will do it. And when you're obedient to do that, I'm telling you, look for new heights, look for new levels, look for new places. I'm telling you, God will take you somewhere. But my son, he's realized if I get down there, I can send him to Mars. Amen? Over the tree. I mean, we've had some bad accidents, but it is so fun to see him flying through the air. But what does he learn? The farther you go down, come on, the higher you go up. He said, which way shall we go up? And he said, let's go through the wilderness of Edom. Even in the same sense, in interns and in times, I've seen this in the church, I'm just going to be real honest. You can see where people's heart is when you ask them to do something. You know what I did this week as the senior pastor of Arena of Life Church? You know what I did on Thursday? I got into the Greek. I got into the concordance, and I studied the Bible for 9 hours. No, I didn't do that. That's a lie. I went down to the arena. I met with people in the morning. I went down to the arena, shot 5 head, and then I ran the weed eater. In fact, I ran the weed eater so well here at the church that I went home and threw my weed eater away because I liked the churches so much that I went and bought a new one. Come on, somebody. Come on, I'm trying to show you something. The Word of God tells us this in Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Look at how it says in the Message, the stuck up fall flat on their face, but down to earth people stand firm. You know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have people. There's people, I could name the names, where I could say, hey, stack every chair in this building. They'd say, yes, sir, drill sergeant. Go put them in the alley. Yes, sir, drill sergeant. Never ask why. Never ask any questions. They just do what they're told. And I'm telling you, it's those places that go to new levels and new heights. The further you go down, the higher you go up. You know, many years here at this church, there was things that pastor asked me to do that I didn't ask questions. I thought it was crazy. I wanted to know answers, but I didn't ask why. I just said, pastor, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You don't just get to positions. You have to go through some wilderness moments. Come on, are you guys getting something out of the Word this morning already? The military, how many of y'all been in the military? Thank God for our military. Let's give them all a hand. You just go into the military and say, all right, I'm calling all the shots. Heck no. You go through basic training and they break you down. And from that down, then you go up. Are you guys seeing this? Even Jesus. Look at Jesus. He's the Son of God. But even Jesus, before he went into his ministry, he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to prepare him for the ministry he had in store for him. Are you guys seeing this morning? You got to go down before you go up. The Israelites, What were they doing? See, when we go through wilderness type moments, when you're an intern and the guy that's over you and says, no, I want you to do this. Just like me, shoeing horses. I'm so thankful for shoeing horses today. I'm so thankful for the education that I received from Pastor Eddie Martis. But the first day on the job, when I went to his house, he said, all right, you ready to shoe horses? Yes, sir. Show me everything that you want. Okay, mow my yard. What was he doing? He was breaking me down to see that I would actually do small things to get prepare me for the big things. If you're going to be faithful in the big things, you better be faithful in the small things, what the Bible says. Amen? So sometimes we got to go through wilderness type moments. Then it goes on to verse 9. It says, so the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. So here's this king of Edom. He's not going to be there for very long. I've studied on this king of Edom. He's like in a position just for a time, and then he goes away. So the king of Israel went down, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed him. I'm here to ask you this morning, have any of y'all have ever been in a wilderness type moment where you've run out of water? I'm going to say it again. How many of y'all have ever been at a place where you've ran out of something that you need the most? Come on, where you at? You know those times in your life where, look at these guys, they have armies, they have all the right cattle, they have all the right horses, they have all the right things for war. They have all the knives, they have all the things, they have the manpower, they have the military power, they have the kings, they have the leadership, but they ran out of water. How many of y'all, you'll do anything to get water? Back in February when it froze at our house for 3 days, we were out without water in the Bennett house. How many of y'all know it's one thing for guys to go to the bathroom in the backyard, but ladies need water in a toilet. Amen? Where you at? So for 3 days, we did whatever we could do to get water. How many of y'all have ever been at that place before that maybe you have the right person in the marriage, but you've ran out of love? Where you at? How many of y'all, you've had a dream? You've had a dream inside of your heart to fulfill something that God has put in you that you know that you're supposed to do. God has shown you time and time and time and time again. And there's moments in life where you're ready to do it. There's moments in life you're excited to do it. But over time, you've lost your passion for what God had in store for you. Am I talking to anybody that's ran out of water before? Where you've ran out of relationship, where the right people in the right place at the right time are not there to fulfill what you're supposed to be doing. Where you've ran out of joy. Come on, where you at? How many of y'all have ever ran out of joy before? The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, I'm here to tell you, there's been times in my life, even as happy as I am, but the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and there's been times where he sucked the joy right out of me. Come on, I'm talking to those people today that's ran out of water. You've ran out of help. You've ran out of resources. You've ran out of time. And so he goes on, Jehoshaphat says, we need some help. Look at your neighbor and say, you need some help. Bobby, you need some help. You need some help. And so he goes, we're gonna need some help here. And so what they do is, and he says, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphath, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. I just want to point something out. I'm going to bring something up in a minute. We rise and fall to the level of our friends. But also, too, you are known by who you hang out with. I'm going to say it one more time. Fell on a few deaf ears, Daniel. You are known by who you hang out with. Birds of a feather flock together. I used to tell kids all the time, if you can see into your future, white and black suit with stripes, your friends that you're hanging around with, if you can see them in or maybe an orange jumpsuit, let me help you out. And I'm not talking about the ones in Africa. I'm talking about the ones that have a number right across here. You might as well get sized up for yours because you're known for who you hang out with. I'm going to say that one more time. It's falling on some deaf ears in here, but you're known for who you hang out with. And so he says, Jehoshaphat, verse 12, he said in Jehoshaphat, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. I just want to point something out real quick in this particular text right here. He says, let's go down to the prophet. Everywhere else in Scripture, prove me wrong, but everywhere else, the prophet goes to the king to give direction. We see the gifts in the Bible, the five. We see the apostle, the prophet. We see the evangelist. We see the pastor and the teacher. The prophet is this finger right here. He gives you direction of where you're supposed to go. But in this particular place where they're out of water, they go to the prophet rather than the prophet going to them. Come on, I'm here to tell you, at times in your life, if you're going to be at a place where you've ran out of water, I want to help you this morning. Sometimes you got to change some things up. We saw it last week, Pastor Tim. Wasn't that an amazing word from Pastor Tim? I'm sorry, I can't preach like him. Maybe I will when I grow up. But I am sweating. I can feel it rolling down my back. Not quite like him with a hanky yet, but I'll get there. But one thing that what was I even talking about? I started talking about Pastor Tim. Lord, forgive me. Huh? Oh, so they had to change some things up. And so the ADD, squirrel, where you at? See? I told you I don't preach like him. So they change it up, and they go to the prophet. I'm here to tell you what he said last week, Pastor Tim. What he said, you can't expect to do new things with old anointing. I was thinking about this morning, and as I was praying, I went and saw a well-known man in ministry, built a huge, huge empire. His name's Pastor Willie George. And I got invited to go hunting with him. And while we were there, he began to just pour into a bunch of us young pastors. And this is Gospel Bill. And I was just in awe and awestruck. And he began to tell this story of this well-known minister. In fact, Pastor brings him up several times. Pastor Ty does. He was friends of Smith Wigglesworth. This man seen three people raised from the dead. This guy was powerful, powerful, powerful in ministry. And Pastor Willie, or Pastor George, says, I remember when he invited me for the first time to come speak at his church. He said, I was so excited to go to his place. And he said, when I walked in right away, I was sad. Because there was this huge auditorium and there was only 120 people in there. This was such a huge man of God. He said, in fact, that morning I saw a creative miracle. I still saw the gifts of God in operation that it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I saw, besides that, I saw a dead church. I saw the church, it was full of 70-year-old people and up. Why? Because they were doing the same thing over and over and over. Come on, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're out of water, you've got to change some things up. I couldn't go into youth ministry today and do it the same way that I did 15 years ago. We've got to learn to do something. Now, the same spirit is the same, but we've got to change up our strategy. Come on, who am I talking to this morning? You may be in a business. You may have a business that it worked for 30 years. It ain't working good no more, honey. You need to change up the strategy. You may be stuck in the 80s of how it used to be, but I'm here to tell you, God will give you wisdom on how to minister in 2021. Can I get an amen? There's churches out there. I did a poll. I'll do the same thing here. If you're 30 years old and younger, I want you to stand to your feet. 30 years old and younger. 30 years old. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 4, 5, 6, 7, 28, 29, 30, 31. And there's probably 225, 230 people here. 10% under 30. Y'all, we're losing. I'm going to say it one more time. We're losing. But you know what God's put in my heart? We need to change, turn some things around. Hey, 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old, you need to be pouring into these 30-year-olds. God has a purpose for your life. 50-year-olds, you need to be pouring into these. Come on. We need to be pouring into these young people. The enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but God's come to give life and life more abundantly. Come on, we love you, young people. We love you, young people. Amen. You may be seated. But how many of y'all know sometimes you've got to change some things up? When you're desperate, sometimes you got to change it up. Well, this is the way we've always done it. How many of y'all have heard that in the business? Well, this is the way we've always done it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be submitted to the one who's asked you to do it. I'm not saying that. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not careful, stagnant water has dead stuff in it. Stagnant water has dead stuff in it. You're going to have to stir the pot. Pull a Bethesda. Let's stir the pot in Jesus' name. So then it goes on to verse 14. It says, I love it that they come to the prophet here. And I love it that the prophet throws shade on them. You young people know what I'm talking about, throwing shade. And he's mean to him. He's like, what are you doing here? You know, I hear it from people sometimes who are like, that man of God, he did not tell me what I needed to hear. Well, he's not there to be your friend. He's there to give you guidance and wisdom. Can I get an amen? And so he throws him some shade. But I love it in verse 14, and as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not even look towards you. See, in this verse, he said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You will rise and fall to the level of your friends. Amen. You might be sitting next to somebody. You came in with a bad attitude, but because of the person next to you full of joy, his cup runneth over onto the inside of you. Come on. You ought to be happy that you sat right next to the right person. Come on. How many of y'all know the right person walking into a room full of gloom, despair, and agony? I'm telling you, that spirit can jump off onto somebody else. You need to be careful who you're listening to. You need to be careful of the gossip. Be careful. Be careful, because you'll find yourself right in that trap. Believing a lie that ain't even true. Come on. So I think about this. We rise and fall to the level of our friends. See, I love it. David shows up on the scene with the giant. He said, the giant may be big, but my God is bigger. I love it. What I love about Joshua. He said, Jericho, that wall may be big, but my God is bigger. See, thank God for those friends in your life. I thank God for Moses said, Pharaoh may be big, but my God is bigger. Come on, we need to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It said, Nebuchadnezzar and his big image may be big, but my God is bigger. I don't know about you, but I want to be Moses in my house. Come on, who's with me? Who wants to be Joseph in their house? Come on, who wants to be David in their house? Let's not blend in with the neighbors and the culture. If God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? So he has all these pressures from these kings. And he said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. See, Jehoshaphat, he has a heart after God. He loves the Lord. And because of that, I'll seek the Lord for an answer of what we're supposed to do without water. So he goes, he says, bring me a minstrel. Bring me a musician. See, I'm here to tell you, sometimes in these particular times when you're out of water, you've got to learn this. You've got to learn how to change the environment. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes we got to learn how to change the environment. At those moments at work where everybody's mad, you can either get mad with them or you can change the environment. See, right here, he needs to hear from God. All the pressure is on him. Psalm 16:11, I pray with you guys in the morning time, Tuesday through Friday, Facebook Live. I always share Psalm 16:11 where it says, you will show me the path of life in your presence is fullness of joy. How many of y'all know those moments inside of the kitchen where your wife comes to you, she gives you bad news, the oldest comes to you, she gives you bad news. You got an in-law in the home, they come and give you bad news. You open the letter, it's bad news. How many of y'all know at those particular moments you need to just change the atmosphere? and say, I got all this negative stuff coming in. I'm like Phoebe on Friends. Oh, get it off. Oh, get it off. I'm getting it off. Sometimes you got to change up the atmosphere. Just begin to pray. Amen. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I build myself up, as Jude 20 says, praying always in the Holy Spirit. And I do that. I got to change the atmosphere. But I want to tell you this. This is one of the things that I tell my kids all the time. Or I could use anything right here. I tell them that I pray today that he keep his angels charge over you, keeping you in all your ways, that no evil befall you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That he bear you up in your hands, lest he dash your foot against a stone. You have the mind of Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? Don't I? I say it all the time. She's getting out of school. Sometimes I roll down the window and I scream it. I can't wait to scream it at Tascosa. Dad, shut up! Hey, come on. When you speak the word, dynamite comes out your mouth. There's a lot of things spoken over your kids. Let's speak the word. And so he says, bring me a minister. See, I just want to show you how when you change the atmosphere. Now, John, I want you to play for me here. Now, sound guy, I want you to really, you know, I want them to feel it inside of their bellies, way deep down inside. Come on. Rattle it. There we go. See, I did it that way, and it sounded good. But now I want you to hear it like this. I pray that he keep his angels charge over you. Keep you in all your ways, that no evil befalls you and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I pray that he bear him up in your hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Come on, I pray you have the mind of Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God be for you, then who in the world can be against you? Come on. Amen. You got to change the atmosphere. You got to change it up. And I get this when he says, hey, bring me the minstrel. Don't you wish you had John, ladies, when you didn't want to fold the laundry and you got the pile of clothes? You're like, John comes in, he just starts playing. I'm changing the atmosphere. When they bring in those four head of geldings and they have the mare at the end that I just absolutely hate, I'm like, John, come in. Play something that's going to get me in the mood before I kill this wench. I hope she dies. Come on. How many of y'all know there's times, I told Noelle the other day, it was the last horse. On Friday, I don't know, I think we shod 12 and trimmed 5. And on the last one, I was feeling my age. I said, son, you're going to have to crank up the radio. We're going to have to change the environment. You know, because I'm here to tell you, when you run out of water, I want to tell you as the man of God and maybe a prophet in your life right now, if you're going to change some things, you're going to have to learn to change the atmosphere. You're going to have to change from I can't to I can. Or I can't do that. No, I can do that. If God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? Come on, you got to learn how to change the atmosphere. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Read the Word of God. Come on, put the right music on. I'm going to say that again. Come on, play. I'm going to change the atmosphere. Oh, I don't need no microphone. Come on. John, we're going to change the atmosphere. We're going to change the atmosphere. So he hears from God. And he says, this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to dig a ditch. Now, I want you to think about this. So he changes the atmosphere. You can continue to play. He changed the atmosphere and he hears from God. And he says, make this valley full of ditches. Well, that makes absolutely no sense. We're tired. We're out of water. We're out of energy. We got all these people. But you want us to dig a ditch. You want us to work. You want us to put the hand to the plow? Come on, who am I talking to this morning? I'm talking to that parent that feels like they're completely out of energy, but there's something that God has asked you to do. I'm here to tell you, you need to take a step ahead in faith and go ahead and do it anyway. He said, make this valley full of ditches. You know what I've learned doing ministry as long as I have? There's some people that learn this. See, it's supernatural. They make the valley full of ditches. But then, after they make the water comes. See, God didn't ask you to supply the water. He asked you to make room for the water. He didn't ask you for the water. He said, I'll supply the water. What you can't supply, I will supply. But there's things that you can do to prepare for the water to come. So I got life here. This is a terrible cereal if you ever want to try it. I make it look so good, but I'm like, this is gross. Bring the Frosted Flakes. If it has squares, I want sugar. Right, John? Amen. I didn't get this way from Life Cereal. Amen, Pastor Robert? Cinnamon rolls. Praise the Lord. But this represents our life right here. And you know what I see some people when they come into the church or maybe even in business or whatever, they say, you know what, this is, because think about it. When they dug the ditch, what were they doing? They were getting rid of something for another thing to come and take it over. I'm going to say that again. They were getting rid of dirt to make capacity and room for something to take its place. See, it's the same way when we give our life to Christ. If you really give your life to the Lord, if you really get sold out for Him, if you really just begin to serve Him, you're saying, you know what? What was in me wasn't working, but God, You came in. And now I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. And I see people, they do this. They say, you know what? God, if You can use anything, You can use me. They do this in their giving. 10%? Oh, my God. They do this in their serving. You want me to serve like every Sunday? Like every Sunday? I'm just here. What you were doing before was not working, right? Now we set you free. Claim liberty. He came and healed the brokenhearted. And they come in, but then I see those people, then they do a little bit more. They said, you know what? If You can use me, God, You can use anyone. You can use me. I'll give 5%. Praise the Lord. And then you have those people that they say, you know what? If You can use anyone, Lord, You can use me. I'll give 8%. Right? But I'm here to tell you, the ones that really stand out, that makes their life complete, I mean, you can see such turnaround in their finances, you can see such turnaround in their families, are the ones that say, God, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. Give and it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. It doesn't make sense to me that if I make time for these things, it will open up more. See, what happens when you dig? Come on, I hope you get this morning. When you dig with the shovel, you're making ready for something else to come in. You can either put dirt back in there or you can put sand back in there. You can put water back in there. But the whole point of it is, God didn't ask for you to put something else in there. God asked for you to make room for what He wanted to fill it with. He said, make this valley full of ditches. See, you see those people and say, you know what, God? I am all in. Come on, who's with me this morning? I'm all in. Oh, yeah. You know what? My life before was garbage. But I'm making room. Come on. I'm making room for the anointing. I'm making room for the things of the Spirit. I'm making room for increase in my life. The old is gone because I've made room for more. Come on, you need to get ready. Let's get out the shovel. Let's dig a ditch. Let's dig a ditch. Come on, when you begin to do that, I'm telling you, your life will change. And I'm not going to say that there'll be times where you'll quit digging. You'll get tired of digging. You'll get to a place where you're like, oh, all I've done is dig. But I'm telling you, when the water comes, look out. I'm going to say it again. When the water comes, look out. You know what I want? I want people on the host team that says, you know what? When I come on the host team, I'm coming, and Stanley is coming with me. Come on. I want people in the nursery say, you know what? If I come, Stanley's coming with me. I'm not just here to fulfill a spot. I'm here to dig ditches to get ready for more. I'm not just going to be in youth ministry. I'm going to come in with Stanley, and we're going to dig a ditch. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be on time. I'm excited because what God has done for me, I want to teach somebody else to get the shovel out in life and replace the thing that is old. Behold, something brand new has come forth. Who am I talking to this morning? I'm telling you, in your business is where you work. Show up. You know what shows off that you're a believer more than anything else is excellence. Somebody drives by your house, I think they ought to say, a man of God lives there. Whatever it is, whatever you put your hand to, shall and will prosper. When I show up, Stanley is coming with me. When I show up to SHU, Stanley is coming with me. When I show up to be dad, Stanley is coming with me. You know what I want to invite you to do in your prayer life? Dig a ditch. Dig a ditch. See, when I get around, birds of a feather flock together. When, like Judy, she inspires me in prayer. She really does. She inspires me to, you know, to talk to God for that long. I couldn't even tell a story without having a squirrel. But you know what? I keep pressing in. I put my back into it. I'm going to pray without distraction. Reading the Word. You know, there's all kinds, but this last year, I've read through the King James, I've read through the ESV, I've read through all of them. I've never read through the old King James. And I'll tell you, and I'm not asking everybody to do this, but I got me an old King James Bible, and I've been reading through the Word of God through the old King James. You're like, that must suck. I'll tell you, sometimes it does. But what am I doing? I found myself stagnant in my reading. I did. I wanted to dig a ditch. It's time to get back to work. Come on. In worship, there's some of y'all, you stand there like a bump on a log. When we have a night of worship, we have to beg y'all to come. In God's presence is fullness of joy. I'm just asking you, if you've laid down the shovel, it's time to get the shovel back up. This is the beginning of, I'm going to go into habits of service. This is what this series is, habits of service. Because I'm here to tell you, when you begin to dig ditches, your life will never be the same again. See, they begin to dig a ditch and the water begin to come. If you need healing in your body, I want to encourage you to dig a ditch. Get in the Word of God. Make room. You've made room for all the doctor's reports. How about you dig a ditch and make room for God's report? Maybe it's in your finances. You've listened to, you know, Dave Ramsey, and all of that is good stuff. But let's, or maybe you've listened to, you know, somebody who showed it to you, a grandpa's grandpa that showed you just spend. What you need to learn to do is dig a ditch and make room for others in your life. Come on, who am I talking to today? This fits every area of life. And as a church, I'm just here to tell you right now, we as a staff and we as leadership, we're ready to dig ditches. We're not going to stay stagnant. We're not going to be at a place that we see these other churches where they just die. We're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep reaching people. And if he's reached you, it's time to pick up a Stanley and make room to reach others. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. How many of y'all are in here today and you can say, you know what, I'm ready to pick up a Stanley? How many of y'all are in here today and say, you know what, he's changed my body? He has changed my life. He has changed my inner man. I'm ready to pick up Stanley. There's many of y'all, you've occupied a seat really, really well. I want to invite you to this. Pick up one of these. Dig a ditch. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to work with people you can't even stand. Ha! But you're digging a ditch for you. For increasing more in your life. Let's not sit on the fence. Let's not stay stagnant. Let's stir up the gift that's on the inside of us. God, if you can use anyone, you can use me. And I love the water begin to come. They didn't have to know where it came from, but the water begin to come. The water begin to come. Come on, who's this word for today? Who's this word for today? Come on, who's this word for today? Who is this word for today? It's time to start digging ditches. It's time to start digging ditches. I'm ready. I'm ready to get out the backhoe, baby. I'm ready. How about you, Pastor Shannon? I'm ready to get out to dig. Yes, one of them. I'll take two of them. I can run two claws at one time. I'm busy. I'm super busy. You know why? Because I've learned stagnant waters create dead things. Elijah, look at Elijah and the raven. Dead meat, dead meat. When you're eating dead meat, you'll be completely away from the purpose of what God has in store for you. Amen? I'm ready to pick up live stuff and dig ditches. Come on, if that word's for you, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. God, in Jesus' name, God, I pray for these that have their hand raised right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I pray that you begin to spark something on the inside of them, that they not sit back on the fence, but God, they move forward to what you have in store for them. Open eyes to see, open ears to hear. God, give them right now, give them vision of where they're supposed to go and what they're supposed to do. God, the thing on the fence where they've been sitting back, God, I know you put a dream in their heart. I know you put a dream in their heart. I know that you've given vision inside of this room. So by the power of your anointing and your spirit, where the word of a king is, there is authority and power. So Lord, I pray for authority to fill this room. God, I pray for every facet of this ministry of this church. God, use these in the arena. God, use these in the children's church. God, use these in the youth. God, use these outside these walls. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for it. Lord, do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Still with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room and you say this, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I can honestly say that I'm away from the Lord. But today I want to make things right with Him. I want to make things right. If that's you today, you're away from God. You say this, Pastor, maybe you've never had a relationship with the Lord. Maybe that's you. You say this, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know who I've hurt. You don't know the places that I've broken people up, broken up relationships. You don't know what I've snorted, what I've smoked, what I've shot in my arm, what I've said. I just want to talk to you this morning and tell you this. I don't know and I don't care. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus forgives you as far as the east is from the west. And if you're in here and you say, you know what, I've never experienced the forgiveness and love of God. Today's your day. Today's your moment. The Bible says this, if you admit your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. He says, if you believe that he died, he buried, and on the third day rose again, and confess him as Lord, he'd come live on the inside of you. So if that's you today and say, you know what, Pastor, maybe I'm away from the Lord, but today I want to make things right. Or maybe you're here and you've never prayed that prayer before. Today is your day. If that's you, pray this prayer after me. Those of you that have prayed this before, just believe God and pray this with me. Say, Jesus. Say it again. Say, Jesus. I admit I'm a sinner. I'm separated from my relationship with you. Today, God, I believe you died, you were buried, and on the third day you rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. I confess you as my Lord. Make me new. In Jesus' name. Hey, let's say it together. Let's dig ditches. Come on, I'm going to say it again. Let's dig ditches. Let's do it one more time. Let's dig ditches. Yeah!
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.